The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast on Thursday, the 18th of February, 2021. On the podcast today, John Mayer, mining analyst and partner at SP Angel, talks about Arc Minerals, Cornish Metals, Rambler Metals and Mining, Rainbow Rare Earths, Makanga Resources and Blue Jay Mining. We also talk about, of course, EVs and the potential on this resource sector there, the uplift, just the general massive trend towards the electrification of vehicles all around the world. Also on the podcast, I have two lists for you, top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most read RNSs too. By the way, you can check out both these lists at voxmarkets.co.uk. You'll see also lots of other articles. There's one there, MGC Pharmaceuticals. It soars after signing a global distribution agreement. It is rocketing, fair play. It's up 65% right now. And this is off the back of quite a few rises recently. Also, Agronomics invests a further $2 million in Meatable. Angles, Parsortix system, shown to harvest circulating tumour cells. And also, don't forget, you can check out our COVID-19 index right there at voxmarkets.co.uk. Biggest rise today, Fusion Antibodies, up 6%. Biggest faller, Gene Drive, down 6.3% to 134. Check that out at voxmarkets.co.uk.
Vox Markets is an online community of investors that runs a free mobile and desktop platform that allows you to track news and updates about any UK-listed company, offering RNS push notifications, detailed charts, pricing data, and much more. Find out more at voxmarkets.co.uk/app.
And joining me on the podcast right now is John Mayer, mining analyst and partner at SP Angel. You're right, John.
Yes, good, thank you.
It's a buoyant market, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, it's. We've not seen this for a long, long time. In fact, I'm not sure I've ever seen a market as strong as this in the mining sector before.
Yeah. And I know it's crazy. And the thing is also, I'm on social media and stuff, and it's like crypto is going nuts, and cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin is going through the scene. And it's a little bit of a dangerous time, you know? It's a time where new investors get involved, thinking you can't lose money, and you know, and that's quite worrying sometimes, isn't it? When you get that, because you know, you're buying at the top of the market when everyone's in. It's like my father. I've said this many times. Asked me how he should he buy some Bitcoin about 3 weeks ago, and I thought the fact that my 74-year-old father's asking if he should buy some Bitcoin when in fact he's not that good on the internet anyway. He can't even get on the internet pretty much. Or he does. He struggles. Says to me, we're at the top here, or certain markets, not all markets. It's a market of stocks, of course, but certain markets are very bubbly, aren't they?
Well, there's a lot of money coming out of bonds into equities at the moment, which is great, because for many, many years, a lot of money was going into bonds, and a lot of bonds sell themselves as safe investments, whereas actually there's, you know, junk bonds and stuff like that. Are often very not safe. And as we discovered in the subprime crisis, securitized lending was not safe either when it came to mortgage products. So I think the fact that, I mean, it's been long overdue for money to go from bonds back into equities. Bond yields are so low, government, you know, interest rates are likely to stay down for a long, long time because of the huge debt racked up by the coronavirus crisis. Governments can't raise taxes that easily. Well, they can, but they'll kill the growth that they've been creating through the expenditure. So that, there's little point in raising taxes too early. And I think too early is this year. Maybe we'll get tax rises sometime next year. Maybe. But, you know, killing the growth is killing the golden goose, and that's not good. So I think for now, certainly in the mining sector, we are in growth. I have personally put all my spare available cash, plus a little bit more, into the space. I got nervous earlier on in the year when there was news of more cases of coronavirus in China, and I was worried that everything might close down again. But I have to say, I was too cautious, I was wrong, and I have just piled everything back into the market.
Yeah, I think we'll have some dips and stuff, but Yeah, at the moment it's a bit bullish, but I do think we'll have some dips. But I genuinely think, like I said, there's no other option available at the moment.
You know, look at the news this morning. Ford has announced it's going to spend $25 billion on going electric. That's $25 billion of capital. That's extraordinary money for even for one of the world's largest auto manufacturers. It is saying we are going to bet the entire bank and more on going electric. And what that means is new factories, the buildings will probably stay the same, but a lot of the equipment will change, the way they do things, new products, new models. And of course, remember, those new models use a whole range of new metals. The cars are still going to be made out of steel. That steel will be galvanized with zinc, so all that stays the same. But the electric motors are different. I mean, Tesla found out after the first few years of making electric motors without permanent magnets, that actually you really need permanent magnets if you want to get the range and the energy efficiency out of your vehicle. So guess what? They're now doing permanent magnets, just like the Chinese are. So there's so much going on that affects metals demand. And we can see all this demand coming, but we just struggle to see who's going to supply it all.
Yeah. Marvellous. Well, exactly. It's what's going to happen then? I mean, it's supply and demand, isn't it? Simple as that. Unless, as we said before, technology changes to the point where they find other alternatives as well. Technology always improves as far as mining is concerned, isn't it? And you get lower grades further down at the same kind of cost, you know?
Well, car companies are very good at thrifting. I mean, that's what the big manufacturers are. Their assembly lines, they're buying all the components from everywhere else, and then they figure out how to do it cheaper. So for years and years and years, it's all about how to create a slightly better product at a slightly cheaper price. So with auto catalysts, we saw this for years. They use platinum, palladium, and rhodium. And year after year, every auto catalyst was using slightly less. So just grams of platinum, palladium, rhodium going into these catalysts. Now we've had a big shift. So hybrid cars, which have smaller engines in them, have to have higher loadings of platinum, palladium, and rhodium in their catalyst because those exhaust pipes are because they're on a stop-start basis and they're not working so much. They have to become efficient more quickly. And when you start up an auto catalyst from cold, you got to have higher platinum, palladium, and rhodium loadings in that catalyst in order for it to work as efficiently as the emissions legislation requires.
Yeah, exactly. What do you mean buying stocks then, John? So what stocks have you been buying?
Start off with copper, because copper is the key foundation for the electrification of everything. We need copper cables for connecting up the offshore wind farms, for connecting up the electric vehicles, for more copper cabling in those electric vehicles. So I piled money back into Arc Minerals, into Rambler Metals and Mining. I also put money into Cornish Metals. Well, that's tin and copper. In fact, the new discovery had more copper in it. But both metals will do well out of electrification. Tin, because it's used for soldering or connecting up all the batteries and all the other circuitry, and copper for the cabling, of course.
Yeah. Cool. Marvellous stuff. And is there any news, any companies at the moment, John, worth looking at?
Well, Arc Minerals had an interesting investor call earlier in the week where they talked about approaches from Chinese companies. They are in exclusive negotiations with Anglo-American, so they were at pains to say that they told the Chinese that they'd have to wait. So that's interesting. I mean, I like the exploration portfolio that ARC have got. The licenses were held by Anglo-American many years ago. Anglo sound keen to get back into Zambia. I mean, they have to be careful about it because there may be some legacy issues in Zambia. But for me, Zambia is a top quality destination from a mining perspective. Sure, you get the occasional politician that will come out with some strange and odd statements. But the rule of law works well in Zambia, and that is the critical thing. So if you own assets, you should you and somebody tries to steal them off you, you know the rule of law will support your case, which is really important. So hopefully no claim jumping going on over there. And I think Arc Minerals are in a very, very strong position. We know that they've got a they're planning a new mine up at the Shazaya East discovery. So they've got a certain amount of oxide copper. They need to do metallurgical work on that to figure out just how they treat it. But they were referring to some quite punchy numbers on sales and earnings from that. I mean, those are internal scoping study type estimates. But what it shows is, well, they're at pains to stress to me that they've got enough cash to last them through till the end of 2022. That'll give them two drilling seasons worth of drilling, depends on how much drilling they want to do. And that would get them into a point where, or should get them into a point where they would be either at or close to cash flow from the new mine. And I think the new mine, which won't cost a lot, I mean, $5 to $10 million, it's only a small scale situation, but they'll be able to they can finance through local offtake financing, for example. So that should be simple enough to do.
Yeah, marvelous stuff. Cool. Anything else going on, John?
Blue Jay Mining. Again, this is symptomatic of the world that we live in. The United States government Exim Bank, this is the import-export bank of the US, has offered them just over $200 million in terms of financing. We would expect that financing to come in at about a lending rate of, wait for it, about 1.46%. Because the Exim Bank offered cash for another project in Greenland. Again, it was a big lump of cash at 1.46% interest rate. That's not on top of LIBOR. That's just a flat rate, no arrangement fees, which is how the banks usually make a lot of money out of these things. And that's fantastic news because that's probably all or most of the capital costs that they need to build the Dundas project. So I'm very pleased. As a shareholder of Blue Jay Mining, I'm very pleased about that.
Yeah. No, you said you're there. You were a bit scared. You sold some, and now you're back in. That's a funny thing, isn't it? Because it's all about psychology. When generally everyone's bullish, that's a worrying thing, isn't it?
That's true. I mean, that's very true. And the market was very, very bullish in the beginning of the year. And I thought, well, gosh, there's going to be a lot of companies coming to the market to raise money, and that tends to suck the money out of the market. And then I just thought, well, no, the strength of what's going on at the moment is so strong, and there's so much money, I think, coming out of bonds into equities, and there's commodity prices continue to rise. I mean, iron ore prices are at $164, $165 a ton. It's unheard of. I mean, that's such a strong price. No wonder Rio Tinto, BHP, and all the others are going to be, all those big iron ore producers are going to be issuing bigger dividends. So you know that. I mean, you can see that reflected in the way those stocks have moved. And I think there's going to be further gains to be made across the board. So iron ore today, $167.8 a ton, and that's because of all the stimulus the Chinese are putting into their construction projects. So I saw a figure. I think the top five Chinese construction projects that are ongoing at the moment, I think it's $131 billion.
Wow.
I mean, it's an extraordinary amount of money.
Yeah. And I suppose, and the thing is now, the odd thing, I suppose, when you get all economies has been taken into a technical recession, they've had to stop work because of the pandemic. And we're all starting up again the same kind of time. Because often you get the global economy, all different economies working at different speeds, some are in recession, some are slowing down, some are speeding up. But now, I suppose, when you all get them kicking up and growing at the same time, that's a heck of a force, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it'd be extraordinary. If the US is able to start spending the money on construction, and to be honest, it's not so easy in the West because, you know, everything has planning issues. The Chinese state had quite a number of projects all ready to go. And China is still in this huge phase of construction and getting things done. So it's really geared up for it. The US are usually pretty quick at getting things up and running and putting money to play in the economy. And it looks as if they're not just going to do one $1.9 trillion stimulus package, but in fact, it's going to be two. So they're talking about two of these enormous stimulus packages to get things going. And as Janet Yellen said, you know, they're going to go big. And when they say go big, they really mean it. It's like, you know, everything in Texas is bigger than better than everywhere else. And this is how the Americans like to do things.
Yeah, absolutely. Marvellous stuff. Cool. Anything else happening, John?
There is also always stuff going on. What else is there? Empire Resources, more gold at their Eclipse gold mine. There's so much going on, I can't even think about what it is. Rainbow Rare Earths, doing very well. They came out with some data on the Palabora tailings project a week ago, confirming 0.5% rare earth oxide within the Palabora tailings. That's good, and the great thing is it confirms the chemical state of the rare earths in that tailings, which means the processing should be really cheap. So I think this is going to be a great project for them, and that's on top of the other project they have, has got the world's highest grade mine at Gakara in Burundi. So that looks really good. So and the Americans are pretty flustered at the moment, because China has now said that it's looking at restricting the supply of rare earths to US defense contractors. Now the problem for America is that China controls most of the world's production and processing of rare earths. So any company outside of China that has rare earth deposits and has the capability of producing rare earth carbonates or even rare earth further processed rare earth materials is going to be right at the top of the list of the US Defense Department's plans. And we think this will be very good. So, I mean, not just Rainbow Rare Earths to look at, but Makango as well, which has a good rare earth project ongoing in Malawi. Definitely worth looking at. So there's not a lot of companies in the space to invest in. And these two are, shall we say, outstanding in their field.
Yeah. Well, do you know what? Like I said, I said them a while back, I probably mentioned this to you, but I own two stocks, you know, exposed to EV, more on the tech side, more on the engineering side, but as Trackwise and Ilika. And I just said, I don't think there's any bigger trend than this that we've seen apart from the internet when that came around. Since I've been in the markets, messing around the markets, I've not seen any trend as big as the EV trend. Maybe crypto, but some would say that's not a real trend or don't believe in that. It was a bit of fairy dust. A real sort of, economic revolution is EV, isn't it? And I've got a Google's alert set up on EVs and batteries. And every day, there's massive stories about development of EV. And this week, for example, like you mentioned, Ford and Jaguar Land Rover going by 2025, all electric. Ford going by 2030, of course, a lot bigger, massive company, Ford, all electric. So it's huge, isn't it? It's a massive revolution, you know?
It's an enormous change. I mean, in 10, 15 years' time, you'll struggle to buy a car with a combustion engine in it. You'll probably be buying a hybrid. Let's not write off combustion engines altogether, because petrol engines have become so much more efficient. And so the pollution coming out of those engines is really very little now. And remember that oil is, or should we say, gasoline has a fantastic energy to weight ratio. Batteries don't compete with gasoline from a power per kilogram perspective. So, that don't rule it out, because I think gasoline vehicles are going to be around for a long time. And when it comes to big, heavy trucks and lorries, diesel is still the way to drive those things. And actually, they're so much cleaner than they ever were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the thing is, regulations is written in the law, isn't it? You that's it now. You can't you can't buy one, like you said, after that, 2025, 2030, whatever. It's going that way, isn't it? So it's all heading in one direction. Ride the wave, you're an investor. Well, you know, get on the wave.
And it's going to become very expensive, if not impossible, to drive certain types of vehicles into city centres. So that will really really change things. If you need to drive into a city centre and on a regular basis, then the cost will be prohibitive, even if you're allowed to drive in there in future years. So you really need to start looking at electric vehicles. You need to start planning or thinking about it early. There's going to be so many people are going to need to have car charging facilities at home. So most of us do relatively short journeys. You get home, as soon as you get home, you put the car on the charger. It's all topped up, ready for the next morning. And actually, life will become more convenient. You won't even need to go to a petrol station anymore.
Yeah. Marvellous stuff. Cheers, John. Anything else?
Look, I think it's worth mentioning. We listed Cornish Metals on the AIM market a week ago. In fact, they started trading on AIM on Monday. We were three times oversubscribed when we asked for the money. And that has been repeated. We raised money for Rambler Metals as well. Again, three times oversubscribed on the placing. So that's another copper. Rambler produces copper and gold. I put my money where my mouth is on Rambler and on Cornish Metals. And both of those companies, I think, have very strong futures ahead of them.
Yeah, good timing that, isn't it? Yeah, spot on, in the right time in the market. I mean, anything in this space is going to be hot, isn't it? You know.
Well, it feels like the dot-com boom all over again. We've had this huge run in tech stocks. There is money coming off the table in tech stocks in the US at the moment, but so there should be. I mean, the valuations are so crazy high on Tesla and things like that. I mean, I think they're great companies. These are world leading companies going forwards. Mm-hmm. But even so, the valuations just look a bit overdone.
Yeah. And the worrying thing is, as well, with Tesla, right? Now, I don't know if you know, it's Tesla bought $1.5 billion, they reckon, of Bitcoin recently. And I said, that's a bubble in a bubble, because Bitcoin has gone stratospheric. Tesla's gone stratospheric. If one of those collapses, it's going to bring the other one down a little bit, and maybe there'll be a contagion there across the market. So there is bubbles within the market, you know? So, who knows?
Who knows? So look, fear and greed.
It's I always say this, and I always remind myself, it's a market of stocks. Don't think of it as a stock market. It's a market. There's always opportunities, always undervalued plays there. There's always opportunities to make money in the market somewhere. You know, we mustn't all just think, oh, it's going nuts everywhere. Cause it's not. There are lots of companies that are overlooked, and you know, and all it needs is a bit of research and a bit of work, and you'll find them. You know.
Yes. Look, there are companies that are growing now that are going to become leading businesses in the future. So there is a big change. If you invested in Vodafone 20, 30 years ago, you would have made an absolute fortune out of that stock. And, you know, we are now looking at some of the new Vodafones coming through in the marketplace. And of course, they're coming through because the environment is right for them. And that's great. And remember, markets climb a wall of worry. So bull markets really, you know, they do climb they climb on a lot of anxious nervousness.
Yeah, really. Marvellous stuff. John, thanks for that, fella, and we'll speak you next week.
Thank you, Justin.
OK, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They're at five. It's Fast Forward Innovations, up 21% to 14 pence. At four, My Health Checked PLC, down 6% to 4 pence. At three, Argo Blockchain, it's up again. Close to 4%. 295, it's over £1 billion in value that now. Wow. At two, Canaba Group. It's 40.5.74% is the fall there. Just 1%. And biggest riser, MGC Pharmaceuticals, up 66% to 7.9. MXC is the ticker there. Okay, let's have a look at the top five most read RNSs on the website here. Let's check it out. At five, MGC Pharmaceuticals, worldwide distribution agreement with Artemic Rescue. At four, Greatland Gold, new license application in the Paterson region. The Paterson region. I don't know why that made me laugh. Avacta Group, in the Paterson region, mine. Phase 1 CTA for AVA 6000 approved by MIH. Well, can you put any more abbreviations in there? Or you know, not abbreviations, what are they called? Letters. Well, they are abbreviations. At 2, Amiga Diagnostics. One of the guys sold it, didn't he? NED, apparently. Direct shareholding. And at number 1, Remote Monitor Systems update on commissioning and board changes. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos appreciated.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.